You're listening to episode 85 of the Body You Crave podcast, the one where we talk about the three simple steps to lose weight for life, part two, trusting your body's true hunger cues.
I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. We are into part two of our series now on the three simple steps to lose weight for life. Because nobody wants to spend the rest of their life gaining and losing and regaining the same weight over and over again. Not only does it take a toll on our body and our metabolism and how our body functions, but it takes such a toll on our mindset. It wrecks our confidence and self-belief and self-trust. So in order to shift that, we need to really step into a new way of doing things. Last week, I talked a lot about no bad foods and how we're going to break the restrict, binge, regret cycle. Okay, that is step one. So no bad foods. The reason and one of the big keys as to why no bad food works is because you are now going to listen to your body's true hunger cues. Okay, this is not about, I'm just going to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, however much I want. It's now, I'm going to listen for my cues. Am I truly hungry? It's not that food was bad or the food was the reason why you couldn't lose weight. It's that often we are overeating and we are emotionally eating. We are eating when we are not truly hungry. That's all emotional eating is. This is important because we don't need to be tracking calories, points, or macros. We don't need something outside of us to be weighing and measuring food. I heard stories of a woman who she would get out a measuring tape and measure the chicken breast on her salad or the fish on her plate to figure out what she could and couldn't eat. We don't need to do that. If that's how you want to live your life, get on with your bad self. But that's not how I want to live my life. Most people and most of the clients who come to me, they don't want to have to be tracking and weighing and counting and measuring all the things all the time. We really want to tune into our body. So we're going to listen for real hunger, true hunger, and we're going to stop at satisfied. The way that I like to think about this is hunger is a spectrum. So I used to teach it from a scale of 0 to 10. There was a negative 10 and then a positive 10. I like 5 better, 0 to -5, 0 to +5. So on the hunger side of things, -5 is like you haven't eaten in days. You're on Survivor Island, you've eaten a grub, it's slim pickings. -5 is really freaking hungry. Now, the other thing to remember about hunger here, though, is that hunger comes in waves. It's cyclical. So if you get hungry and then you drink some water, or for some people, they have some tea or some coffee, that hunger subsides for a little bit. There are times when we'll find then the hunger comes back and then it subsides and then it comes back, okay? And there comes a point where you're like, okay, there's no faux hunger. There's no dehydration masked as hunger. I teach it as you want to eat at a -2 and then you want to stop at a +2. So if we look at the positive spectrum of how much can I be eating now? So now it's 0 to 5 in terms of how satisfied I am. We're going to start at the -2 and at +2 where we finish, that's satisfied. I'm not stuffed. I'm not overly full. I don't need to unbutton my pants. I could go for a brisk walk. I might even be able to do a light jog. I could do downward dog and not want to throw up. I could do some yoga poses. I could twist and turn. I don't feel like my stomach sticks out. I've had enough. That's what we want to go for. And it's just a couple of bites that can take us from enough and satisfied into full. So part of how we find these is by knowing that we are going to eat a little bit before we are truly hungry. And sometimes we're going to wait a little too long. Sometimes we're going to stop before we've really had enough and we found that number and we're hungry within an hour. And then other times when we eat a couple bites too much. That's how we find it though. This is all about tuning into your body. And when we bring it back to your body and what's allowed, we create peace there. Because anytime you have a history of dieting, your body has this history and just this memory that is stored in your body of, oh shit, she's about to starve us. We're about to not get food. She's going to deprive us of our favorite things and anything that tastes good. And so your body is sending out these danger signals, these alarms, spiking your cortisol levels. All the while, all of this is going on inside, you are fighting against your body, trying to get it to do what you want it to do. And so often we're afraid of hunger. We've spent days being hungry, or maybe we've tried to be hungry, but then we just couldn't muster up enough willpower. And then we felt like crap on the back end, feeling, why can't I do it? Why can't I just starve myself? Because really, that's what most diets ask you to do. or just to starve yourself skinny. That's why it doesn't work long term. That's why you always gain the weight back, is because you never learn, one, how to make peace with food, and two, how to eat it when you're hungry and to stop it satisfied. And the key here is that we have to stop making food our primary source of joy, pleasure, comfort, or relaxation. That's it. We have to stop turning to food or turning to alcohol as a coping mechanism, as a way to feel better. That is why this feels hard. That's why listening to your body's true hunger signals feels hard, is because we have just trained our brain that food or alcohol creates a rapid, reliable, and effective sense of relief. It's normal. It's a habit that we learned. But the beautiful thing is that it's a habit we can unlearn. If I learned it, I can also unlearn it, and I can teach myself new habits instead. Okay, but we need to be able to see the emotional eating. So if we're eating before we're hungry, if we're eating beyond the point of being satisfied, we are emotionally eating. This is important to see because it's not this big stain on your humanity, but we need to start to see it so that we can solve for the real problem. We can solve for our avoidance of emotions. Usually our avoidance of negative emotions, or when we try to overdo it with food, we use food or alcohol as a way of celebrating and enjoying things more, or simply that food is our primary source of joy for the day. Now, you can enjoy your food. I would like you to enjoy your food. I tell all my clients, eat food that you like. Your food should be an 8 out of 10 or better. You should like the food. You should want to eat it. You should enjoy it. But it doesn't mean it is the primary source of your joy, and it is definitely not the only source of your joy that day. So that means you need to be doing things that bring you joy. You need to be thinking better about yourself. You need to be thinking better about your life. It's not just about the action. It's about how you are thinking that truly drives the emotion. We can change circumstances, and we can look at what circumstances can I change that are going to help me have a more enjoyable life. And also, how can I manage my mind around the circumstances that I can't change, or the circumstances I don't want to change, or that I can't change right now in this moment? This is what this is all about, is can I wait for true hunger and eat when I am truly physically hungry and then stop at satisfied? And for a lot of people, their thoughts are, then I'm not going to get to eat as much, or I'm not hungry in the evenings when I normally have my snack, and that's not going to be as much fun. Sometimes it's just that habit of, I'm used to sitting on the couch and snacking on a bag of chips or some cookies or some Oreos, and I'm just used to watching TV and relaxing at the end of the night with that. I'm used to relaxing at the end of the night with a glass of wine. There's no shame, no judgment. I've been there too. I'm just saying that because a lot of times we think, like, just one won't hurt, a little bit won't hurt, I deserve it. And we need to really get clear on what our excuses and justifications are. And then we need to get clear on, okay, what is it that has me pouring drink number two? What leads me from drink number two to drink number three? Or drink number three to drink number four? This is how we get really clear on it. What has me reaching and going, maybe I get two or three Oreos? What has me going back for another three Oreos? What has me going back for another three? Or for some ice cream? Or for a protein bar? Or for something salty now? That's what we want to start to look at. And when we can really get to the bottom of this issue, that's when you're going to find success. When I was first exploring this and the emotional side of things, the emotional eating, I kept telling myself, but I'm a happy person. I have a pretty good life. I'm not angry. I don't have a problem with negative emotions. I'm fine. I'm a happy person. It's okay. But ultimately underneath, I had a lot of shame and judgment towards myself. There was a lot of self-loathing. There were a lot of thoughts about how I should be further along. I shouldn't be in this position. I should be making more money. I should have a different title. There were a lot of shoulds. And sometimes that's why it is so helpful to have a coach, because we don't see things for what they really are. And sometimes we need somebody on the outside to help us. And this is why it's not just about the food. This is why I don't just coach you on habits and food and exercise. We look at your life as a whole and creating the vision for, what do you want for your life? What do you want a year from now? What do you want 5 years from now? And now we can work it backwards and start to see, where are you telling yourself you aren't measuring up? Where are you telling yourself you need to be better? You should have had it together by now. You should have figured this out by now. There's so much shame that we can have around trying to lose weight, still being here, or thoughts like, how did I let myself get this way? We create so much unnecessary suffering for ourselves, and we have to learn how to rewrite that conversation, how to rewrite that story. That doesn't happen overnight. And It can't happen if you don't know how. We don't know what we don't know. We can't change and we can't fix and we can't solve for the things that we don't know how to do. It's like asking me to go in and change out the engine on my car. I have no freaking idea how to do that. I could probably try. I would probably ruin things before I made anything better. Which is why I would either take it to somebody to help me do that, or I would have a guide. I would have somebody there. If I was training to learn how to do that, somebody would be with me teaching me how to do these new things. We have to give ourselves that same kind of love and compassion. And just because somebody taught us one way and one method doesn't mean that is the end all be all. There is no one way of eating that works for every single human being on the planet. I know, it sucks. I hate it. I wish it wasn't so, but use that for yourself. That's beautiful. That means that you don't have to eat broccoli if you don't like it. You don't have to eat chicken liver if you don't like it. You don't have to eat grapefruit or Spam or hot dogs or whatever crazy diets are out there. You don't have to eat it. I don't like beets and eggplant. Those are the two, beets and eggplant. Really, I could live very happy without those two foods. Now, if I was starving, would I eat them? Probably. Have I found ways of eating them in the past where I didn't want to like totally vomit? Yes. Will I typically make those for myself ever? No. So that's good. We don't need somebody else to tell us what we can and can't eat. But we need to stop relying on these food rules. And we need to really learn how to trust our bodies. And some days we're going to eat more and some days we're going to eat less. Some days I lift weights and then that day I'm really hungry. Sometimes it's the next day I'm hungry. Some days I'm not that hungry at all. Some days I go for a run and I'm starving afterwards. Other days I'm not. So listen to your body. Your body will tell you how much food it needs. Because there are also going to be times when you notice I have a little breakfast. Maybe you have a snack at lunch because you're like, oh, I'm not really that hungry. We're getting close to dinner. And then you have dinner and you're like, oh, I feel good. It's not about trying to eat low calorie or starve yourself. It's listening to what does your body truly need. We don't have to beat ourselves up, but our body can snack on itself sometimes. It's okay if you don't eat a whole lot. I usually am not that hungry in the morning. There are some days, though, where I'm eating breakfast at 9:30 a.m. And normally I'm not eating until about noon. That's all right. But you listen for real, true hunger, and then you eat. The real reason that this feels hard is that we often are trying to avoid the bad foods, and we think that we can't eat them or we shouldn't eat them. So when we clean that up, now what we run into is the emotional eating of using food to feel better. How do we work on this? Tips for getting started. Number one, ask yourself, am I hungry every time you reach for food? And if you are truly hungry, go ahead and eat. That's what this is about. If you are truly legitimately hungry, you can eat. Now, you also have an option. If it's in the morning, drink 8 ounces of water and wait 20 minutes and then recheck. And then see, a lot of times I might feel a little hungry in the morning, but when I drink some water, I notice 20 minutes later, I'm not hungry anymore. And a lot of times I'll get hours later and I'm like, oh, I guess I wasn't hungry. So you can always try that. But if you are truly hungry, you can eat. This is allowed. You don't spend your entire day feeling hungry. If it's a no, you can still eat. But I want you to start to ask yourself some questions. Tune into, what am I feeling? What emotion am I feeling? Or what emotion am I trying to avoid? If I'm not actually hungry, if I'm not truly physically hungry, what am I looking for food to do for me? What am I hoping the food will do? And from there, you can decide whether or not you want to eat. But we're going to stop eating behind our own back. We're going to eat eyes wide open. We're going to get really clear on, okay, I know I'm not hungry, but I'm reaching for food right now, and I'm not in the mood to figure it out at the moment, but I will do this tomorrow. But I will sit down and assess and figure out what was going on and do your own assessment work. This is what I help clients with, is to give them ways of assessing and to figure this out. And it's what they bring to me on calls. It's stuff that we go through and we decipher and we decode the emotional eating. There is a reason it is happening. And the better we get at understanding what our bodies are truly saying, the better we can understand what it is our mind and our body truly wants, the better we can get about sitting in negative emotion and not making it a problem, the better a relationship with food we will create. You get to decide, though. If you are not hungry, you can still eat, but we're just going to start to eat more consciously. The other thing here that I love doing and my clients love doing is to track successful urges. So all the times that you stop eating or you say no to eating when you are not physically hungry, you, number one, write it down. and start creating this list. I create trackers. And so I have this tracker where I'll do 15 at a time. Every time you write something down, you praise yourself. I give myself that internal high five. So I write down, usually it's like the day and time, what it is that I wanted and why I was saying no. 9 times out of 10, it's I'm not truly hungry. It's late at night. I don't really need this food right before going to bed. Sometimes it's I've already had some dessert tonight. Don't need another bowl. But I still track it and I write it down. And that's how I've been able to notice, oh, most of the time I recognize I'm not eating more and I'm saying no from a place of self-love. I'm saying no from this place of I am not truly hungry. It's okay to say no right here. That's what no from self-love looks like. I'm going to honor my body and not overfeed it. Because overeating food is wasting food. You can waste it in the trash or you can waste it in your stomach. Those are your options. But it is still wasting food. And then as I'm tracking, so I'm praising myself as I track these, and then after about 14 or 15 times of saying no, I get a prize. I get a reward. I get something fun. It's not long off in the distance. It's not 1 month or 2 months down the road. I can get there within 2 weeks or less typically. And you could even do this sooner. You can say, hey, after 5, I get some kind of prize. After 10, you want it to be soon enough that you're like, yes, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait for this. Or I'm really looking forward to this. Give yourself some kind of reward, some kind of prize for saying no, for following through and listening to your body. Because that's the other thing is we often see food as being so pleasurable and enjoyable. And then to not have the food, it feels like we are depriving ourselves. But the feeling of deprived stems from how you're thinking about it. So we also want to be thinking about it in a way of I'm saying no to the food. You don't have to feel deprived, but you can still say no. And we are also thinking about that fun, positive thing that we're going to get on the back end. Not just the body, not just weight loss, not just I'm going to look good in my bathing suit, but some kind of real prize, whether it's a manicure or new makeup or a purse or running shoes or whatever it is, like something that you enjoy, something that you like doing, something that's for yourself. Give yourself some kind of positive reinforcement for doing this thing. You don't have to do it forever, but as you're building this habit, we need to make it fun to say no. We need to make it a good thing to say no. Again, we're not trying to say no when we are truly hungry. We're saying no if we are not hungry. This is how we start to break the habit. It's these little tricks, these little brain hacks. And this is how I work with clients. This is exactly what we do, is I help them understand what is underneath that desire. We really get to the root of it. We don't just think, I need to wait for life to be less stressful. I need to wait for my job to calm down. We don't let these big circumstances of life block us and stop us from being able to take the action that we want. Because then we are always at the mercy of our circumstances. We will always be waiting for other things and other people to behave and to fall in line in order for us to be able to lose weight or keep it off. And then you will be terrified. If that's how you are losing the weight, you will be terrified after you've lost the weight that you won't be able to keep it off because you're going to have to keep everything exactly the same. And it's not going to be fun. And I want you to create a life that you love. I want you to have the life and body that you crave. And I'll help you do both of those things together at the same time. You ready? You can schedule your free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. Find a day and time on my calendar and we'll really get into it. What's going on? What is it that you truly want? We're going to spend a little bit of time diving into what are the current challenges and the obstacles that you see. And then we're really going to jump into what is it that you want for your life? What is that life that you want to create? And now we're going to get to work creating more fun, more joy, more ease, creating more of the life. And the body will follow because we're taking our eye off of the scale. I know it sounds counterintuitive. We're always taught, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the prize. No, here we're going to take it off. We're going to take it off of the scale and we're going to put it onto living a life that you love. And when you create more joy and peace and pleasure and love in your life as a whole, you will stop searching for it at the bottom of a tub of ice cream. You're going to stop searching for it at the bottom of a bottle of wine. And I'll show you how. I will walk with you step by step through this so that it's not just lose weight this one time, it's lose weight and keep it off forever. I think of the Sandlot here. Forever. That's what we want. And I can help you do it too. All right, y'all. We are over halfway done with the series, but don't miss out on next week. Next week is a good one. We are talking about your two secret fat-burning weapons. I know they're not super sexy. They're often underrated, but they have massive power when it comes to our weight loss journey and our overall health, which that's the other thing is we can get so caught up in our bodies and how we look, but we don't want to negate and diminish the value of having a healthy body that functions well, that functions optimally. Don't miss out because that is going to bring it and tie these things together. All right, we got one more week and then we'll be diving into some more new stuff. Have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.